The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Doreen Ampofo.
In the headlines, Dr. Abu Sakara quits CPP to contest presidential election as independent candidate. Deliberation between organized labor and government over utility price hikes ends inconclusively. Ghana Gas renews insurance of a Tiabo gas processing plant. Ghana Health Service to constitute committee to review appointment of new medical director for Ridge Hospital. And the Gambia bans female employees from going to work without headgear. First, a summary by Doreen Ampofo.
The 2012 presidential candidate of the CPP, Dr. Abu Sakara, has resigned from the CPP, saying he will contest the 2016 presidential election as an independent candidate. In a statement, Dr. Sakara said he decided to quit the CPP because of misplaced priorities and decision-making processes in the party. The 2012 presidential candidate of the CPP believes his decision to go independent will provide Ghanaians an alternative to the NDC and NPP. Organized labor and government will meet again to deliberate on the utility price hikes after their meeting yesterday ended inconclusively. Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the TUC wants a withdrawal of the petroleum levy tax, but the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, believes reversal of the decisions will have the consequences on the economy. Meanwhile, Labour expert Austin Gamme has asked both parties to be open for dialogue and not take entrenched positions. And the Gambia has banned its female employees from leaving their hair uncovered at work. A leaked memo from the president's office says women should use a head tie and neatly wrap their hair. Last month, President Yahya Jammeh declared the Muslim majority country an Islamic state.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The 2012 presidential candidate of the CPP, Dr. Abu Sakara, has resigned from the CPP and will contest the 2016 presidential election as an independent candidate. A statement from Dr. Sakara says the conduct and misplaced priorities that still dominate decision-making in the CPP leaves him with no option than to go independent. He believes his independent candidacy will enable well-meaning Ghanaians to look for an alternative to the two main political parties, the NDC and NPP. We'll bring you more on Dr. Abu Sakara's statement in this news desk report.
Dr. Abu Sakara says his decision comes after months of contemplation and consultation with close advisors, supporters, and other well-meaning Ghanaians. He said during this period, he also sought the best course of action to help build the CPP. However, the attitudes, conduct, and misplaced priorities that still dominate decision-making in the party left him convinced that his resources, energy, and talent can be put to more productive purposes as an independent presidential candidate. He said the purpose of his decision is to provide a more focused platform around which national consensus can be built on key issues that will really transform Ghana. Dr. Sakara said his candidacy would galvanize momentum for real fundamental change in the approach to the many challenges confronting the nation by ending the paralyzed political dialogue that has divided the nation. He said the dominance of the NDC and NPP has made Ghana's democracy stagnant and unresponsive to the many calls for the real fundamental change in legislation, accountability, and equity in governance. He raised concern about the winner-takes-all syndrome which has held the country's politics to ransom. According to Dr. Abu Sakara, there must be a credible political response to the cries of the many frustrated Ghanaians for real change. He said for the moment, the traditional roots of political parties will only produce more of the same lone and weak voices in the wilderness of self-righteousness. It is in response to this that he is seeking the backing of Ghanaians for his independent candidature. Dr. Sakara, in the statement, said he will shortly announce at a press conference further details of his objectives, campaign team, running mate, and symbol. He will also give a timetable for the launch of his manifesto for the national campaign. Dr. Sankara was a running mate to the then CPP leader, Dr. Papa Kwesi Indum, in the 2008 polls. He was subsequently elected CPP flag bearer when Dr. Indum led the party to found the Progressive People's Party.
You had excerpts from a statement by 2012 presidential candidate of the CPP, Dr. Abu Sankara, announcing his decision to quit the party and run as an independent candidate in this year's election.
A meeting between organized labor and government over utility hikes last month, or the 25% new date, has therefore been set. Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the TUC wants a withdrawal of the petroleum levy tax. He said the tax is undemocratic and was rushed through Parliament. The TUC General Secretary believes a compromise will be reached at the next date. He spoke to Bright in Trauma.
The meeting of government and other stakeholders came off as scheduled. We had organized labor, the Association of Ghana Industries, the Employers Association, and some utility companies. You may recall that the organized labor has stated this point that there should be a further reduction in the price levels for the utility. Remember, we complained about timing, we complained about the fact that services wasn't available. So we reiterated our demand for reduction of the utility prices. Government and also the utility companies also stated this well-known explanation that they have been giving in the increases in the utility prices and reiterated those points. But restated our position that we still want a reduction in the prices of the utility. Organized labor also took a position on the newly introduced energy sector levy. Firstly, we have the view that they were undemocratically rushed through Parliament and no public consultations were held. And beyond that, some of the provisions are totally baffling, inexplicable. We have the view that it's going to further worsen the plight of the ordinary person. So we called for his withdrawal. The meeting ended inconclusively, and we are scheduled to meet again early next week.
So now that it seems both government and TUC have taken an entrenched position on this matter, do you think there will be a way out? There will be a compromise?
There should be a compromise. We are still insisting on a reduction by arms. There should be a compromise. So we are also going to meet as labor and look at what we could do. Again, we'll try and we'll also meet them early next week as scheduled. I hope whatever it is, they would have to do anything possible to ensure a reduction.
What other options are available for labor?
Oh, we don't disclose. We don't conclude like that. We want them to reduce it. When it gets to what we want to do, we'll let you know.
And what percentage are you looking at in the reduction?
We are also not disclosing this. We stated all this figure. That averagely we are expecting both water and electricity shouldn't have gone through the particular margin. So we'll also let you know when we get to the meeting once again.
So looking at this scenario whereby government says no, from look of things, it can't do anything about it. What options are available for
them? I have not said that they can't do anything about it. They restated our position. The meeting has not come through. That we are meeting again. That's what I mean by, a new date has been rescheduled.
You heard Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, talking to Bright in Trauma.
Meanwhile, government says it is still open to dialogue with organized labor over the utility price hikes. Although government admits the price hikes will burden Ghanaians, it is appealing to organized labor and other stakeholders to bear with them. Speaking on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News, the sector minister, Haruna Idrisu, believes reversal of their decisions will have dire consequences on the economy. He said the revision of prices is necessary because government needs to raise funds to settle the growing number of debts of over 2 years owed to contractors. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson.
We persuaded organized labor to bear with government, but we remain very open on the TURC. They are saying 50%, government is at 59% respect of power. The other one, they give us some evidence.
Using taxes as a measure
with them in terms of working to reduce operational inefficiency, MGAs and SOEs to be up and doing, in paying upfront and paying at the end of every month what they owe ECG, because that's what increases the government liability on that side. I do concede that it affects the ordinary Ghanaian.
Yes, so it is affecting the ordinary Ghanaian. So is it likely that governments will listen to the demands of organized labor?
We are already listening to them. We may not be able to please them absolutely, and we may not be able to grant their request in absolute terms, but we are still engaging them. We do have a growing debt in respect of, for instance, the road sector. You have 323 million arrears that is owed contractors. 2-3 years, if contractors are not paid, you know what that means for their businesses, and you know what that means for their economy. So the energy sector levy seeks to adjust the road fund levy up to 40 Ghana pesos in order that at least a dedicated amount of it will be used to offset the outstanding debt that is owed contractors.
Now, the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Aaron Idrisu, speaking to Jonathan Thompson.
Still on the tariff increases, labour consultant Austin Game has advised government and organised labour not to take entrenched positions in their meeting over utility price hikes. He said both parties should be open for dialogue. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Game said the issue is of genuine concern because government should be seen to be transparent and accountable, especially in an election year. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson on Behind the News.
We should go to that meeting not having in mind a position. Because if you take a position, somebody else will take a position. You all drag and we all get nothing out of it. So I think that what they are doing is good. I congratulate them. They should go to the meeting again. I've heard my brother saying that we're having a meeting on Thursday. They have to go and brainstorm and find other ways than me, other than taking a position, and government also, other than taking a position, what else could they do so that we do not put ourselves in a square peg? The fact that government has dropped its guard and facing electric this year, at the same time having these increases, it's a genuine kind of concern they have. And, I think that that is commendable, except that all of us will have to face it. I was listening to BBC and other related agencies, and I found that Angola have a similar problem. Nigeria is just having a crunch meeting with IMF. In a similar situation, Ghana finds itself, even though they have a tremendous, if not a million of barrels of oil in a day. So we shouldn't locate Ghana in a basket of the situation being Ghana matter. It's an international and global concern.
You had labor consultant Austin Game.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The Niger stories. Dr. Abu Sakara quits CPP to contest presidential election as independent candidate. Deliberation between organized labor and government over utility price hikes ends inconclusively. Ghana Gas renews insurance of a Tuyabo gas processing plant. Ghana Health Service to constitute committee to review appointment of new medical director for Ridge Hospital, and the Gambia bans female employees from going to work without headgear. Do stay tuned. You're welcome back. The multi-million dollar insurance for the Tuyabo gas processing plant operated by the Ghana National Gas Company has been renewed. With the renewal, the plant will continue to supply reliable, efficient, and cost-effective lean gas to the VRA. This is contrary to claims that the company has planned a shutdown of the gas processing plant. Ghana Gas has been supplying about 115 million standard cubic feet of gas daily to the Abuazi thermal enclave, helping the VRA to generate more than 630 megawatts of electricity from the national grid. The fears of a shutdown over the expiration of the $2.5 million insurance cover for the gas plant went viral after some members of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Mines and Energy insisted the plant would be shut down by Christmas Day over the inability of the operators to renew the insurance. The shutdown and inability to renew the insurance was blamed on the VRA's inability to settle a more than $190 million debt owed the gas processing company.
Now, Petroleum Minister Emmanuel Ama Kofi Buah has assured the Western Regional House of Chiefs that government is working to ensure Ghana's oil and gas becomes a blessing and not a curse. Speaking at the second edition of the annual stakeholders meeting with the chiefs, Mr. Buah highlighted key achievements in the petroleum sector and also updated them on progress made in the implementation of programs and projects in the petroleum sector, such as the $7 billion OCTP Sankofa Gas project, which will usher in Ghana's third FPSO, and how government is eradicating the use of solid fuel through the rural LPG distribution. The chief executive of the Petroleum Commission, Mr. Theophilus Eshi, spoke on steps the commission is taking to build Kenyan capacity and local content. Other discussions included the Atuabo Free Port and gas flaring. The Free Port is an outstanding infrastructure strategically located within the Gulf of Guinea in the heart of Ghana's oil and gas enclave. It will provide 18.5-meter deep channel and three keys of varying depth, as well as clear activity zones, including offshore logistics, subsea fabrication, and rig and vessel repair, among others.
Now to the media front, where the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, GIBA, says it has already informed the National Media Commission about its decision to go to the Supreme Court to have LI-2224 annulled following its passage by Parliament. The LI Content Standards Regulation 2015 empowers the NMC to grant content authorization to an operator or revoke same if an operator contravenes the regulations. It also seeks to promote standards by criminalizing content. Yesterday, GIBA hinted of its decision to go to court on the matter. Speaking on Behind the News, the president of GIBA, Kwesi Ajemang, said sections of the law contravenes Article 16(2)(4) of the Constitution, and if not checked, will criminalize free speech.
With this particular LI, we have issues because there are certain provisions that seem to contradict the Constitution of Ghana. And so we've drawn the attention of the NMC to it that we will be seeking constitutional interpretation at the Supreme Court.
Can you let us
in? District Assembly should be a person with it.
I mean, for example, if you look at the LI regulation 3.2, it says anybody who contravenes or goes contrary to the LI, the regulation, could be fined or imprisoned. Now, if you take the Constitution and you look at Article 162.4, it says no editor or publisher or operator of mass media shall be held. I mean, you can't criminalize content, so to speak. So we find a contradiction in both clauses, one in the Constitution and now this LI. And as we all know, the Constitution reigns supreme, so we'll be going to court on that one. Then there's the issue of the need for...
But Adiman, if a broadcaster or a broadcasting house actually goes contrary to standards set, what kind of punitive measures do you want to be taken against that operator?
You could potentially, I mean, there are several things that can be put in place. We all believe and agree that there has to be some standards and then some capacity building in the industry. But we are saying, if the Constitution didn't say this, then I wouldn't be talking about it. But the Constitution says you can't criminalize it. So if at the end of the day, there's a new regulation that also says that you can be fined and or be imprisoned, it's a contradiction.
President of GIBA, Kwesi Ajemang, speaking to Jonathan Thompson.
So on the media, seven-member Volta Regional Media Advisory Committee of the National Media Commission, NMC, has been inaugurated in whole with a call on members to ensure that media institutions and journalists work responsibly. The chairman of the NMC, Kwesi Janapinting, who inaugurated the committee, said the principle of setting up the Regional Advisory Council is intended to serve as critical backup for the commission's under-resourced secretariat
and reduce the financial pressure on the
media players across the country. Avota regional correspondent Kosi Kumahovi brings us more.
The seven-member committee has Catholic Bishop of the whole diocese, the Most Reverend Emmanuel Kofi Fiano, as its chairman, with former rector of the whole polytechnic, Dr. George Mausi Afeti, a retired educationist, Simon Komla Duoto, and Ninolia Kwashi Gidiglo as members. The rest are the assistant registrar of UHAS, Madam Ya Amankwa Opuni, a journalist, Anthony Kafuikai, and a member of the Ghana Association of Writers, Bruce Sinam McBrain, as members. The chairman of the NMC, Kwesi Janapinte, reminded the members that the RMACs are being set up at an important time when Ghana will make history by braving the storm to ensure that the 2016 general elections are free and fair, to confirm to the whole world that Ghana's democracy has come of age. He disclosed that the NMC will soon operationalize the Content Standards Regulation, CSR, passed by Parliament. This, he said, will allow the setting up of minimum standards by which the contents of the electronic media will be assessed and guided by international best practices to conform to constitutional guarantees of freedom of expression and independence of the media. Mr. Jonathan Ting reminded the media that they are free to publish what they want without hindrance, but must remember that the freedom must not be taken for granted and abused. The former rector of the Ho Polytechnic, Dr. George Afeti, on behalf of the committee, said society cannot do without the media because of their importance. He pledged their support to ensure that the NMC achieves its aims and objectives.
That report was filed by Kosiku Mahovi.
Now to the health sector, where the Director General of the Ghana Health Service for almost 3 months, a unit of the issues raised by the workers to establish whether there is violation in the appointment process. The staff early this week petitioned management of the hospital and government, demanding that a probe be conducted into the selection of the medical director, citing breach of procedure.
Participants in a public forum in Tamale have opposed an audit and review of the National Health Insurance Authority structures quarterly or annually to ensure sanity and effective service delivery. They also want other activities undertaken by the NHIA, including infrastructural projects solely funded by the central government, to avoid financial malfeasance. The NHIA has come under criticism following the arrest of some officials by the Bureau of National Investigation, BNI, after it conducted investigations into suspected acts of fraud in the payment of claims to medical facilities. They also suggested punishment of officials who abuse the system for their parochial interest to serve as deterrents to others. The chairman of the National Health Review Technical Committee, Chris Etim, said the forum is to help take stock of public views on the NHIS to provide a framework for future periodic reviews of the scheme. He said though there are perceptions of collapse of the scheme, so far there have been increased enrollment and utilization. Is of the view that the introduction of the capitation system will go a long way to curb the embezzlement of funds by some officials. The public are entreated to send their submissions on the state of the NHIS to the nearest NHIS office for onward review by the committee.
A section of palm oil sellers in some markets in Accra are contemplating stopping business due to low patronage of the commodity. The decision, according to them, has become necessary because the business is no longer booming since the news of adulteration of palm oil broke out. They said though the Food and Drugs Authority has declared that palm oil being sold on the market is now wholesome, the effect of the declaration is yet to be felt.
Now, 7 suspected Islamic militants have been remanded into custody by an Accra Circuit Court. The 7 were arrested on the 24th of last month at Dantong Dabwasi near Salaga in the northern region. 2 AK-47 rifles and 16 spent AK-47 ammunition cells were retrieved from them. A laptop containing videos and documentaries of Islamic militant activities were also recovered from the suspects. Here's a report by our court correspondent Beatrice Opong.
The accused persons are Issa Sule, Mahama Sani Muftau, and Mohammed Al-Hassan. The rest are Al-Hassan Abdul Dayan, Abdullah Ibrahim Umpini, Umar Ibrahim Al-Hassan, and Andani Mohammed Tofik. The 8th person, Idrisu Ibrahim, is at large, and efforts are being made to arrest him. The prosecutor, DSP Aidan Derry, said the accused persons include a nurse at a Tamale teaching hospital and 3 teachers. He said last December, 3 of the accused persons, Issa, Muftau, and Ibrahim, were spotted at Zantong Dabwasi on 2 motorbikes with a package tied on one of the bikes. DSP Derry said the youth in the community suspected them of being ritual murderers and therefore confronted them. They managed to arrest 2 of them while the 3rd escaped. The package was found to be the 2 AK-47 rifles. Later, the other accused persons attempted to rescue the 2 who were described as their loyalists, but they were also arrested. When a search was conducted in their rooms, the 16 spent AK-47 ammunition shells were found in the room of Umar. The laptop with the extremist videos was also retrieved from the room of Mohammed. In their caution statement, Issa and Muftau said they went to the community in search of a quiet, secured and safe environment to practice firing of the weapons. They have been charged with possession of firearms without lawful authority, unlawful training and abetment of unlawful possession of firearm. They will return to court on the 19th of this month.
The report was filed by our court correspondent, Beatrice Opon.
On the foreign front, the Gambia has banned its female employees from leaving their hair uncovered at work. A leaked memo from the president's office says women should use a head tie and neatly wrap their hair. Last month, President Yahya Jammeh declared the Muslim-majority country an Islamic republic. He added that no dress code would be imposed and citizens of other faiths would be allowed to practice freely. The Gambia is popular with Western